In 2000, the United Nations adopted a landmark resolution to address the impact of war on women and spur greater participation of women in peacekeeping. The United Nations Department of Peacekeeping Operations appointed Comfort Lamptey as a gender advisor to help increase the role of women peacekeepers and study gender issues within peacekeeping operations. Lamptey says the resolution grew out of the advocacy of women in war-torn regions who wanted a greater voice. Their regional advocacy caught the attention of UN officials.
During the 90s, we did see a rise in levels of internal conflicts in different continents, actually, in Africa, in Asia, in Eastern Europe, and all the former Soviet Union states. And I think that what was clear is that whilst many of them have not been engaged in the processes leading up to the conflict, they were being adversely affected by the war through violence against women, through the fact that they have to be solely responsible for the upkeep of their communities when the men are out fighting, through the fact that many women are becoming widows and single heads of household. And yet when it comes to actually helping to find solutions to the peace, in spite of the impact of the war on them and the responsibilities that they assumed during wartime, they're not being consulted.
The reaction to women peacekeepers has been mixed in some locations, but their supporters say the advantages are clear. In some traditional societies, it is more acceptable for women to work with women. Lamptey has no doubt that women peacekeepers are better able to deal with women who have been victims of violence.
I think that in a lot of the countries, women who have been through sexual or other forms of gender-based violence feel much more comfortable talking to another woman. And in many countries where women have been raped by men in the army or in the militias, men who have been in uniform, they're much more comfortable talking to another woman than to a man in uniform. So having women in the field who are well-trained, I may add, to be able to respond to women who have been violated in these ways is definitely preferable.
As a side benefit, UN officials hope that women can set an example for male counterparts and reduce the instances of sexual exploitation that occurred in some peacekeeping units in recent years.
My personal view, it's not scientific, but I believe strongly that the presence of more women can actually help dilute the very sort of macho approach to peacekeeping. This is my own personal belief that if you have a contingent of 50 peacekeepers and they're all men, so the dynamics in the group will be very different if you suddenly had 15 women even and 35 men.
Lamptey notes that in many societies, women peacekeepers have provided an extra benefit. They have become role models.
We heard women from countries such as Timor-Leste and Burundi actually attest to the fact that by virtue of the fact that we had women peacekeepers actually helped them galvanize their own aspirations to either join the police, the local police, which we were helping to build in the case of Timor. So the few women police officers who were there served as role models. Similarly, in Burundi, the local Burundian women said they were actually also very inspired by the fact that the head of the UN in the country was a woman, and that kind of strengthened their own sort of aspirations.
Increasing the number of women serving in the military components of peacekeeping missions is an ongoing struggle. Lamptey says troop-contributing nations rarely meet the number of requests for women made by the UN Peacekeeping Department. India, Pakistan, Nepal, Nigeria, Ghana, and Ethiopia are among the top troop-contributing countries. Lamptey says women account for less than 2% of the military and peacekeeping operations. Women make up about 4% of the police and almost 30% of the civilian staffs of missions. Barbara Schatzow, VOA News, New York.